Jesus.
And we rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
We rejoice.
Let your spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God.
We
and
thank
the peace
you, Lord.
Of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. This scripture, church, is a scripture for, I think, for every one of us, every day of our lives, especially in hard times. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. He says it again because we need to be reminded again and again. And he says always because we need to do it always again and again, right? And, instead, he gives us, he doesn't say, hey, everything's fine. Rejoice always because everything's going great. He says rejoice always and be anxious for nothing. Not because there's nothing to be anxious about, but because you're bringing it to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wrote this while he's in house arrest on false charges to a church that's suffering. And so when he says be anxious for nothing, he's not saying there's nothing to be anxious about. He's saying choose not to have anxiety. In everything, all these things, whatever they are, as many of them as there are, they persecuted Christ, they'll also persecute you. In all those things, by prayer and supplication, bring them to the Lord with thanksgiving. So you come to the Lord and you give thanks. Because for everything that I'm praying for and everything that's going wrong, which are many, it's always important, all the more important, Trina already kind of said it, is gratitude under God. He died for our sins. For everything that I could complain about or grumble about or be worried about or anxious about, bring it back to the Lord in thanks. If you will do this, church, if you will do this, what the Bible says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you will simply bring your requests to him with thanksgiving, all of them, and choose to rejoice in the midst of them, he will guard your heart and your mind with the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. Not a fake peace, not something that you kind of conjure up. That's not peace. That's not the peace of God. Right? The peace of God surpasses all comprehension. I think this is all the more important in our hard times, but I know in your families, in your jobs, in your marriages, I know there is much that we need to be bringing to the Lord in supplication with thanksgiving. Let me pray for us right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, we come to you right now with thanksgiving. We thank you that you have died for our sins, that you have resurrected, that you give us eternal life. We thank you that we have eternal hope in you and we do not need to have anxiety or fear. We thank you that we can rejoice in all circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you would build up this church, that you would build up your church, your people, that we would be able to rejoice always, that we would be able to give thanks always. Lord, I pray that you would set us free from the hardships, from the difficulties that we face. But Lord, beyond that, I pray that you would make us bright lights in the middle of these difficulties. And Lord, that you would purify your church and build up your church and strengthen your church and move us onto the right foundation, the true cornerstone of the gospel, so that we are not off in the middle of nowhere wondering what's going on. But Lord, that we would be standing firmly on your foundation, following your will and your ways. And Lord, that you would make us rejoice, that you would make us full of gratitude, overflowing with joy that comes from knowing you. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name, trusting you that you are able to do far more than we can even imagine or ask or think. And we trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, church. Praise the Lord. Church, we have a couple of exciting things going on. We always like to start we do our worship with our children. Praise the Lord. And we like to have a special children's time for our children to make sure that they know that they're part of the church and that you know that they're part of the church. We are all one church, right? So children, if you guys can gather into these front sections here and here, we're going to have a special children's time to commission our children for their week out into the world as missionaries. And this is exactly what all of us are. We are missionaries for the kingdom of God. Every one of us, old and young, big and little, everybody in between. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we prayed and we dedicated you children to your new school year just a few weeks ago, right? If you have to, you can sit on these side wings. We got a few extra. I'd rather you sit on the extra chairs and try to, hey, you, than try to sit and like push each other around. Don't do that, okay? All right. So we commissioned you as missionaries into your school year, into your schools, however, what kind of school you might have. We have many different schools represented here. We have a lot of non-Christian schools and a lot of Christian schools and Christian homeschools and everything else. And so we are commissioning you as missionaries. You're a missionary. If you're a homeschool and a Christian home and a Christian homeschool, you're a missionary there. You get to have a joyful attitude about your schoolwork, right? A joyful attitude. Who's got a joyful attitude about their schoolwork? Couple? Good. I got a couple. I got some adults raising their hands. Good. Okay. So the best way or a good way to be a missionary is to be able to rejoice even when you got to do schoolwork that you might not want to do. Okay? It's okay to not want to, but even in the middle of not wanting to, you have to overcome that with the joy of knowing Jesus. Okay, so we're going to do a sword drill. That's a Bible drill. Pull up your swords, your Bibles like this. The Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God, and we're going to get really good at it. We're going to drill and practice with it. Okay, hold it up, and your verse is right up on the screen, Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Everybody say it. When I say go, you're going to go, okay? And adults, you can raise too, but the children are the ones that can stand up and read. Okay, one, two, three, go! Hey, great job, great job. You young men were quick on that. Praise the Lord. This is good. Sometimes when I'm in the Psalms, I feel like I'm paging it. You get to the Psalms pretty quick, but there's so many of them, you're paging along just trying to get to the right one, right? But what's this say, guys? It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And it goes on from there. I just had you guys stop at verse 3. Okay, who do you think he's talking to when it says that? Who's he talking to? He's actually not talking to God. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? Who is supposed to sing to the Lord a new song? Who's supposed to do it? Well, Jesus is the Lord, so he's not going to sing to himself a new song, right? Who's going to do it? You are going to do it. Good job, Colton. Good job. Us. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Do you think there's like somebody that doesn't live on earth and it's talking to that guy? No, it's talking to all the earth. Everybody who lives on earth. Raise your hand if you live on planet earth. I need every hand going up here, guys. I need them all going up. This is an easy one. It's not a trick question. I'm not going to use this against you. Yes. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord all the earth. All the children, all the adults, everybody, right? Praise his name. Proclaim good news of his salvation day after day. Do you guys know, was this written, Psalm 96, was this written before Jesus or after Jesus? Who knows? After Jesus. I have a vote for after Jesus. Who thinks it's before Jesus? I think it's before Jesus. This is Psalm. This is Old Testament. This is before Jesus. Okay, this is probably written by King David. King David was the great, 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 great grandfather. I didn't count all my greats. Somewhere way back there was David who wrote this. And so he says, proclaim good tidings. That's good news. Good news of his salvation, of God's salvation. Isn't that amazing? That a guy hundreds of years before Jesus would be telling the world about God's salvation, even though he's before Jesus ever came. Isn't that amazing? Raise your hand if you think that's amazing. They're just kind of staring at me, right? That's amazing, guys. That's amazing. This is a prophecy. This was done hundreds of years before Jesus. And even King David, even before Jesus, said there's really good news that needs to be spread around the world. He didn't even know Jesus' name yet. But he did know that God was going to send someone in the line of David because Prophet Samuel told him that, okay? Tell of his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. Do you think, boys and girls, this is something that only applies to grown-ups? Should only grown-ups be doing this stuff? What do you think? No, not only grown-ups. Grown-ups definitely need to be doing it, right? Grown-ups. But boys and girls can do it too. You children can do it too, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to learn these couple verses. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim good news of his salvation day after day. Right? That means it doesn't say complain about your homework, does it? Like fit in there somewhere, like verse 2 or something. Sing to the Lord a new song. Complain about your homework. Tell of his salvation. Does it say that? No, it does not say that. It does not say that. In fact, you can read the whole Bible and you'll never hear it say it's good to complain. It's good to grumble. It never will say that. It will never say that, okay? So instead, every time you're tempted to complain and grumble, every time you're tempted to argue and fight and get grumpy about your homework or something, remember, you're a missionary. You're spreading good news to the world. And when you're complaining, all you're doing is spreading bad news. You're just grumbling, right? All right. Let me pray for you, boys and girls, and we'll send you to your classes, okay? Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we pray. We are humbled, Lord. We are frequently not spreading good news of your salvation to the ends of the earth. Lord, we confess our sin, and Lord, we pray that you would make us great witnesses. Lord, that you would make every generation, these youngest ones, make them missionaries to their homework. Make them missionaries to their teachers, that they would see a joyful attitude coming from these boys and girls, a joyful attitude that comes from Christ, that comes from the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Lord, build them up this school year. Build them up at home and at school and in whatever curriculums they might be going through. Lord, be glorified here in this church, in our little ones, as we raise them and present them to you, as we dedicate them to you to be your great missionaries into their entire life purposes. Lord, we thank you for them, and we pray that you would bless them as they grow up. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, boys and girls, we're going to dismiss you now to your classes, okay? Children's Church. The first group I'll dismiss is the youngest ones, the ages 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. You guys are going to head right over here. There goes Mrs. Kylie, and Grayson's leading the way, and there goes Joel. All right. The youngest ones, here you go. All right. The next group is the 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. 7, 8, and 9, you guys are going to your classes. It's a big group. All right, and the next group is the older group, the 10s and 11-year-olds. You guys head off for your classes as well. Praise the Lord. All right, let me share something with you. We have a special announcement as well, but I'm gonna share one thing first. We have a children's Sunday school ministry meeting immediately after church today, okay? And I have already dismissed some of our teachers because they already know about it. And I know many of you are part of our rotation already, and it's just not your week. But this is an exciting opportunity, guys. We opened our Sunday school hour, or expanded our Sunday school hour, I should say, about a month ago. And it's been exciting. We got 2 adult classes. They're both doing tremendous. It's great. And we have the children's class. We need more fighters in our children's department, in our children's ministry. We have a lot that are already serving in right now, in the children's church time. When I dismiss them, they rotate. We have a lot of great helpers in there. We have the Awana program that kicked off Thursday night. I think there were 79 people here. Incredible. That counts all the volunteers. There are tons of them. It's incredible. But this generation, these young ones, are growing up. Are they growing up into a good world that we can just kind of assume it'll all work out for them? I don't think so. This is an opportunity to fight for this rising generation, to stand with them, to help raise them, to bless these parents and families that are raising children into this time. There's a tremendous opportunity. I'm not coming to you as an obligation, as a, oh, somebody has to serve, I guess I'll do it. This is a powerful opportunity. This is incredible. These guys are going to way outlive us, right? They're going to grow up into this dark world that we, in some degree, we're handing them off to this world. Because we're raising them up into this world. And they're going to grow up and have to face these things. Things that our generation and older generations somehow, whatever, not trying to cast blame, but we are passing on something to our children. And what they grow up into is either going to be conducive to their walk with Christ and build them up and give them a foundation, or it's going to erode that foundation. And what I see right now in our society that we're raising kids into is eroding that foundation by and large, across the board. And we have an opportunity to equip them. The Bible says they're like arrows. They're weapons to go out into this world and be effective, not to somehow survive against it, not to somehow hold on and hope they hold on to their salvation as they grow up, but rather to go out as really bright lights into a dark world. And the world is getting darker. So we need fighters. We need fighters that will protect this generation, will teach them the truth when the whole society is teaching them lies. We need people that will teach them the truth, that will teach them the truth founded in God's word that does not budge, that does not change from generation to generation. We need fighters, not under compulsion, not under obligation, not under some kind of somebody's got to do it kind of thing. We have a lot that are serving well. We have incredible children's ministries. Absolutely incredible. We have good curriculum. We can train you. We can show you how to do it. If you're saying, oh, I don't know if I can do it, well, look at the world around us. See, can you tell at our age as adults, can you see the world around us, various lies that the world is believing? I can recognize them. I'm an adult. You're an adult. If you're in your scripture, you should be able to recognize these things. The children, though, folly is bound up in their hearts. The Bible says they don't know that without wisdom from adults teaching, they are going to fall off into whatever direction our society happens to push them. And so it's our opportunity. We can guard them. We can protect them from lies. We can replace the lies that they're hearing and learning and that the world around us is just kind of marinating them into. And we can replace those with truth, real truth, actual biblical, scriptural, eternal truth that won't change. We have an incredible opportunity. So we need fighters not only to equip them with that truth so that they'll stand against the lies, but that they would advance the truth, that they would promote the truth, that they would grow up and not just hold on, but that they would be weapons that Satan's afraid of. Instead of being afraid of what the schools are going to do to them and what the TV's going to do to them and what this and that are going to do to them, Satan will say, whoa, watch out for these kids. They're armed. They're good with their Bibles. They know their truth. And they're going out and they're making disciples. Right? That's what we need. So there's a meeting right after church today. We're going to give you lunch. Please stick around. If you're not able to stick around, but man, you're like, I need to fight for this generation. I can't do it today, but I need to fight. Man, please talk to me. Sarah Kaufman is leading this as well. We need more adult fighters. And I'll say specifically, we need more men. A lot of the mothers that are raising their children here are raising their children well. And fathers, keep it up. But we need you in our departments. We need the children, especially the young men, the boys, looking up and saying, hey, older men, this is what men do. Men open their Bibles too. Men read their Bibles. Men study their Bibles. And men have a purpose in this world. Our little boys need that right now. They're under attack. Our girls are too. We need it all. We need it all. All right? So if God is stirring your heart, not under guilt, not under some kind of pastors begging us to do it and we better do it or something, not that. I want fighters. I want people that actually want to go out and make weapons out of these children, make them into swords, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Sharp iron is called a sword, and we need to get moving, right? We need to equip them. We need to train them, okay? Let me pray as well for this. You're welcome to stick around today. Doesn't matter. We have plenty of leftover. We'll have plenty of food for you. We ordered extra. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would resurrect the fighting spirit of your people, Lord, of the adult generations, Lord, that we would raise children and that the church would work together to bless the families and bless the parents who are raising children into this world. Lord, I pray that you would raise up more and more fighters and trainers of fighters so that we would raise children who know how to advance the kingdom of God into this dark world. Not only that they wouldn't fall off the edges of all the dangerous areas our world's throwing at them, not only that they wouldn't fall off, but Lord, that they would advance your kingdom instead. So, Lord, raise up your spirit among the adult generations to be able to bless our children, to equip our children, and to arm our children with the truth in this world full of lies. Lord, we praise your name, and we look to you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Cindy Jancic, can you come on up here as well? Cindy is leading a really exciting opportunity into the public schools in our world, and she's got some good stuff to share. So
okay, thank you, Pastor. Yeah. I really appreciate that appeal to us as fighters, and really am a big fan of Sunday school and any type of youth ministries. I was saved when I was a little one at 11 years old, and you just have no idea how that's going to impact a child. I also want to recognize the fighters in our congregation that are in the public schools teaching. And I don't know if there are any here today. I know Kelly is one of them, and I have such admiration for her. She's a health teacher. Are there any other teachers They're in the public schools that teach. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am one of them as well, and if you are interested in doing any measure of prayer consistently for them, we do a Zoom call on Friday mornings at 7 to 8 every Friday morning, and we pray for the districts, pray for the teachers, administrators, students, etc., because we need it. So next week, and we're going to get there in just a minute. Thank you, Jesse. There's been a lot of effort to, I'm transitioning, to support efforts that are going on legally for pregnancy resource centers. And as you have heard in the bulletin and the announcement there, Pro-Life Rally is going on, I think that is the next Monday. I'm trying to get the exact name of it. March for Life, there you go. And Carolyn, of course, is hosting that. If you are interested, giving a donation to Tender Care, I understand, is what's going to get you a ticket on that bus. That is one form of showing support and encouragement for young people or any adults that have gotten pregnant or are had gotten somebody pregnant that are in a crisis, of course, to prevent abortion. But there are other ways. You can give, you can volunteer at Tender Care Pregnancy Center, and I encourage you to do that. But another way is to teach the teens who are pregnant or are parenting already, because they don't have the skill sets to be able to raise a family and make better choices in the future for partners, et cetera, and how to build a family. So that's where Penn's Youth Initiative is coming in as one of the resources, and we are so thankful. This church has resourced us down in the basement with a terrific classroom where we're able to offer virtual presentations every Monday night for 10 weeks. From 5 to 6, we are meeting with girls, fathers, and mothers from York, Franklin, and Adams County all at the same time over Zoom. And we are teaching them. It's amazing. And I invite you in to kind of be a spectator in the background. You will be so encouraged by the dialogue, the measure of interest, the things that are being taught that are so, we believe, very helpful in those foundational pieces. One of the lessons, for example, is this one, and if Jesse, you can just click 6 times. This is explaining whole person health, and so young people are starting to realize, gosh, I'm just not a physical body. As so much is emphasized in social media, in song lyrics, in any type of entertainment, the physical part of life is generally exalted. But you also have an intellect, things that you think about and how you process. You have feelings. You're an emotional person. You're also a social person. You love and do gravitate to certain types of people because you have common interests. You also have a spiritual component to your life as well as a financial. And these, as this picture shows, are all interactive. They're gears. So you don't just work on one part of your life or focus on one part of life and it not impact all of the others. That is also true of, for example, if you're losing weight, you're going to focus on that physical attribute, but that's going to impact how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what kind of friends you gravitate to, especially if you're on, you know, play sports. So they are all interactive, and likewise, if you are making a poor decision, you decide you're going to go to the party and you're going to get in a car with somebody who's been drinking. Well, that too is going to impact all of those pieces of the puzzle. So explaining and helping young people understand that is just one component of the many different type topics we cover. And again, we really appreciate your support. As incentives, we are giving away new baby items. And as you can see, our cradle's empty because we've been giving them out. They are responding, and a lot of that is getting them to talk, and a lot of them is getting to be on time for the meetings, etc. If you would like to contribute, that's where we're collecting them. Any kind of baby new items we will use, and they're very excited to be part of the program. So thank you so much.
I'm gonna pray with Cindy and for this ministry opportunity. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Cindy. We thank you for the Penn's Youth Organization, the Penn's Youth Initiative, and all the good work that they do, reaching into classrooms and people's lives who typically as a church we would have almost no access to. Lord, I thank you for the doors that you have opened up for Cindy and for this organization. I thank you for the tremendous opportunities that there are and the ways to minister to these teens, pregnant and already raising babies, Lord, into this world who generally don't have any biblical foundation for how they're doing it. Lord, I pray that you would bless this ministry, open them more doors, and multiply their effectiveness. Lord, give them opportunities to lead into these children, these young people's lives, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask these things, trusting in you to figure out how to do it. Lord, we trust you in Jesus' name. And Lord, multiply their diapers and their baby food and all these other things. Lord, we thank you for the generosity in this church, and we pray that you would multiply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. You know, God is raising up people, and he has people all over the place in different positions and different situations that give us incredible opportunities to minister and reach the world. I'm going to go over a couple announcements quickly. Cindy already mentioned the Children's Sunday School meeting, the Penn's Youth Initiative diaper and baby food drive. Just put them right in that big cradle there. Fill it up, overflow it, stack them up around the floor around it, fill it up. The Walk for Life is next week. It's next Monday. It has really jumped off the calendar at me. It's already middle of September. But next Monday is September 19th. You have an insert in your bulletin about it. You also have one about Penn's Youth. It's just on the other side. But this is going to be an incredible thing. Last year, we took a bus, marched all the way around the Capitol. All kinds of powerful speakers, preachers, praying in the name of Jesus. Just an electric, really good environment in the name of Jesus. So let's do it again this year. Let's do it bigger. The bus leaves Monday morning, September 19th. Donate something to the Tender Care Pregnancy Center. Can be $1, can be $1,000. Donate something. Let's reserve your seat, and let's do it. It's 9:30 in the morning. You'll be back by 4. Need to take a day off if you're working, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. And this year, this is the year that God has seen fit to send the abortion issue back to the states, back to the state of Pennsylvania. It's in a powerful year. God has appointed it. We prayed for this my entire life. I'm 41. The Roe vs. Wade that so evil was before I was even born. Many of you have been praying literally that entire time, and God has seen fit that now this would be the year. So March for Life in the name of Jesus, March for Life at the Pennsylvania Capitol. It's going to be incredible. It was totally peaceful last year. That people are always worried, oh, is this going to turn into some sort of violent or whatever? You know what? If it does, praise the Lord, you get to be persecuted and suffer in the name of Jesus. But it didn't last year. Let's just do it. Don't give in to fear, right? Don't give in to fear. Let's advance the kingdom right up to the Capitol steps and everywhere else. It's going to be a powerful, incredible opportunity. We got the Biblical Greek class starts on Tuesday this week. Communion is next Sunday. We're doing baptisms next Sunday. It's not too late. I have several that want to do it. If you're interested, talk to me. We'll dunk you in the pool too. Franklin Graham is September 25th. That's over at the York Expo Center. We got a men's conference, Raise the Standard. Men's Conference, October 28th and 29th. That's a date change. We originally had it the first weekend of October. We bounced it back for multiple reasons. But raise the standard. Men, we got to raise the standard in our households, our families, our marriages, our church, and our nation. The standards have just been eroding away. I feel like we don't even have standards in this country anymore. We got to raise them. And Christmas musical production. I've talked often about the need for Christians to build up culture and arts and entertainment and stuff like this. And so we got Susan White and my wife and a couple people getting together. We want to put together a Christian Christmas musical production for this Christmas. This will give children, youth especially, but there will be plenty of jobs for adults to get involved in these kinds of things. Right now, almost all the alternatives I know of, if you're into drama, acting, musical stuff, almost all of them, every one of them that I know of in this area is run by secularists and pagans and homosexuals. And so this is an opportunity for the church to build up something in the name of Jesus and do it for his glory. So that we'll have a lot more about that coming up. Let me pray, and then we'll get into today's message. Lord Jesus, we look to you over each one of these items that you have put before us and given us opportunities to do. Lord, I pray that we would do these things for your glory in the name of Jesus, that you would advance your kingdom. Lord, I pray for a full bus out to the Walk for Life. Lord, I pray for people hungry and eager to advance your kingdom in tangible ways. Lord, we pray for Penn's Youth Initiative. We pray for Tender Care. We pray for the March for Life. Lord, we pray over each one of these things, our children's ministries, our communion, our baptisms. Lord, the Franklin Graham tour event coming up, the men's conference, the Christian musical production that we're working on. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in these things, that your kingdom would be advanced and expanded. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Church, we are moving through a series on the idea, the topic of freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom into righteousness, freedom in Christ. Freedom, you're no longer enslaved to sin, no longer enslaved to fear, no longer enslaved to man, no longer enslaved to anything, but bought and paid for in the name of Jesus by his blood. We're looking at several passages, but Romans 8:21 says that the entire creation is eagerly waiting for God's glory to be revealed and the freedom of the glory of the children of God, of God's people, for us to be the lights in the world that the corrupt world needs. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought at a price, do not be enslaved to men. The principles and ideas of freedom, of Christ setting us free, are all through the scriptures, and Christ alone sets you free from all of these things. And he does it. We need to get this mentality, this mindset. When you picture Jesus in your mind, I don't know what picture comes to mind, but most people picture a smiling guy with really nice hair, just kind of smiling and happy to see you, and that's all we get. But the scriptures would say he's so much more than this. He's a guy who bought you out of slavery to the most wicked, evil, torturing, lying slave master ever. And he is severe, and he is intense in this, and he wants to buy you out of slavery at the cost of his blood. Praise the Lord. Let me show you this in Romans 8. And we'll keep on moving through this. It says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. These are all your temptations to sin. When your body, when your life is tempting you in the flesh, in sinful directions. It might be greed, it might be gluttony, it might be lust, it might be some sort of addiction to drugs or alcohol, it might be any of that, complaining, finding fault, spreading rumors and gossip, whatever. If you're living according to the flesh, verse 13, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, that's if you've given your life to Christ and he is leading you, you submit to him and you follow him. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For if you have not received a spirit of slavery, you're set free. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. It means father. He says, Abba, Patra. It's Aramaic and Greek, meaning everybody. He is everyone's father. It doesn't matter what language you are, doesn't matter what culture you are. He has bought you out of slavery and made you a son, made you an heir and a child. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. We're children of God. Think about that. If your dad is a slave and you're just owned by some slave master, that doesn't set you free. That means you're a slave. That means that you have no hope, you have no purpose. But if your dad is the King of Kings, the King of all nations, of all eternity, and he says, I bought you and I've adopted you and made you my child, and I've made you an heir is someone who has the inheritance of God. If that's where you're at, then we have a much higher standard. This is why the men's conference we have coming up is called Raise the Standard. The standard's up here. The standard is God's standard. It's not man's standard. It's not spirit of fear. It's not slavery to sin. It's God's standard. If we are children, we are heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. We might have to suffer in the middle of this. Probably will. We're giving up our lives to follow Christ. We're giving it over to him. My life no longer counts. It doesn't matter. It belongs to Christ. Been bought, right? Whatever happens in this life, it's done in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's why I started off with that Philippians passage. Don't complain. Don't grumble. I told the children, man, wouldn't it be nice if the biggest thing in your life that you grumbled about was homework? Wouldn't that be nice? We got to raise them to rejoice now with the homework assignment, because later in life it gets harder, right? Teach them to rejoice now. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The freedom of the glory of the children of God is us. And so we need to live in the freedom of the glory of being a child of God. And that means set free from all other things. And I'll show you the full passage here in 1 Corinthians 7. It says, were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. He's writing to a church that had actual slavery in that time. Don't worry about it. If you're able to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. You've been bought. You've been bought out of it. Don't be a slave to fear. Don't be a slave to sin. Don't be a slave to men. Be free. And if you are a slave to men, in our context, we don't have it the same way they did, find a way out. If you're in debt, you're a servant to the lender. Find a way out of debt. If you're enslaved to this or to that, find a way out in the name of Jesus and be free. Okay? Now, I want to show you this because we have talked the past few weeks about this slavery to sin, slavery to corruption, and the great power that is here in Christ. You have a purpose. You're not just set free from sin. You're set free into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, something incredible, something powerful, something meaningful. One verse in our vacation Bible school, I already dismissed the little ones, but they would all have this memorized because we hit it hard all week. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We're God's workmanship. That's the same idea as Romans 8, as 1 Corinthians 7. You've been bought out of slavery. You're an heir of Christ, a fellow heir with Christ. You're created in Christ for good works. And God prepared you beforehand, and he prepared these good works beforehand for us to go live them out. This is freedom, the freedom to go do what is right, the freedom to go do your purpose under God without anything stopping you, without fear stopping you, without laziness stopping you, without some sort of slavery, worry, sin, laws, anything stopping you. That's the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You're his workmanship. He designed you. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? He formed the man out of the dust of the earth. He fashioned the woman out of the rib of Adam, right? He designed you. And this says he did it to you. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You are, not just Adam and Eve thousands of years ago, each of us in Christ Jesus for good works. And this world has a really, really strong series of temptations and just atmosphere of gloom that makes all of us feel like we're not going to get anything useful done, and I'm not special, and you're not special, and even when I try to do some good works and try this and that, it somehow falls flat. But God has a purpose for you. And when I say good works, I don't mean earning your salvation and pleasing God. No, Jesus does that. And I don't mean just doing something nice and friendly every day. I mean, that's wonderful. But I mean a purpose. God made you with a purpose, a life purpose. You're unique. You're made in his image, and you're made uniquely in his image. And you're placed here and you're placed now for some purpose. And it's a good purpose. It's good works that God prepared beforehand for you and I, us, to walk in these things, to find your purpose under God. Why did he make me? Why did he make you? Why did he make each one of us the way we are? Why did he choose to put you here now instead of 1,000 years ago in some other continent? Why did he do these things? He's God. He has his purposes. And he said, now's the time for this group of people. This time. All right? No sense complaining about the times we live in. God said, I put you in these times. And I put you in here for good works, for good purposes. And there is incredible freedom as we start to live this out, as we start to live out the purposes that God made each of us for. And this is the problem with being locked into this world. In this world, you might you feel like, well, I have to work. I work 40 hours a week, 50, 60 hours a week, and I just earn a paycheck just to survive, just to go on for tomorrow. And even the paycheck doesn't work right, and the economy's a mess. I could get laid off. My business is failing or might fail, or there's so many contingencies we've got going on that it doesn't feel like freedom. It doesn't feel like endless opportunities. It doesn't feel like God made me for some grand purpose from before time began to go walk out these good purposes right now. It feels like I'm just holding on to survive, if I'm lucky. And I'm pretty anxious that I won't be lucky tomorrow because it's a mess, right? That's what it feels like. That's what our society is doing to us. That's what I believe our own sinful minds are doing to us, playing games, keeping you up late at night, worrying what if and whatever might go wrong and everything else. And in the news, you turn that on and it tells you exactly that. It's a mess. It's going to get worse tomorrow. Well, look how bad it is, right? And it is bad. The world we live in has turned from God. We used to be a Christian nation, and it looks like we're turning into an apostate nation. It's not good, right? But he made you for a purpose. He made you at this time to go walk out his good purposes. And that should give us joy, right? I want to share something with you. I have quoted out of Matthew 5 many times. I don't have it up on the screen. I'm counting on you to have it memorized. Jesus says, you're the city on a hill. You're the light of the world. City on a hill can't be hidden. Light doesn't go under a basket. Right? It goes in the center of the room on a pedestal and illuminates the room. It doesn't hide in a corner. It doesn't go under the basket. It doesn't hide. It just is light. Let there be light. Just let it out. That's all. Light happens. The only way you stop light is by physically stopping, and you have to put some kind of covering over it. He says, let there be light. Get the covering out. You're the light of the world. You've got a purpose. And if this world sees God's people shining bright lights into every little wing and corner of this world. Each one of us is uniquely gifted, uniquely built and made for some purpose. And you might not even know what it is yet. Well, let's find out. Let's get on our knees. The way you're going to find out God's purpose is who God created you for in advance, and you're his workmanship. How do you think you're going to find out your purpose? You're going to ask God, right? Because God made you for a purpose. And if he's bought you out of slavery, that makes him your new owner. You're now a slave to Christ, or according to Romans 8, you're actually a son or a daughter. You're an heir, a fellow heir with Christ. So you go to your father, Abba, Father, and say, God, what did you make me for? What's this about? Why did you put me here now in this weird time? What's this about? And you pray and you get on your knees. Instead of just suffering through it and hoping to survive and maybe someday when I die, I'll go to heaven. That'll be great. Look forward to that. Yes, of course. And we pray, even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. We want him to come. We want to set our eyes on eternal things, and we want to be looking to that eternal city. But he also says, make it on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this way and move this way and go make disciples of the nations. So he doesn't say, just hide in the corner, survive, and hope it all works. He says, no, you're my witnesses. Go and do it. And so how did he make you a witness and you a witness and you a witness and each one of us a witness? How did he? What purpose did he call you for? This starts with that conversion, that turning your life to Christ and saying, I no longer live. I'm not a slave. I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. I don't want to be a slave to fear. I don't want to be a slave to man. I don't want to be a slave to anything. I want to be a slave to Christ. I want to be set free because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You're a slave to Christ, but it's a freeing kind of slavery. It sets you free to be the person, the man, the woman that he made you before time began to be. And that's fulfilling. That's joy. When you're living out the purposes that God made you for. And anything short of that is this idea, well, I'm trying to do my best and trying to figure it out. And every now and then you get in a groove and it's working. And then something kind of falls off and it's not quite working right. That joy of knowing that I am walking out the good works that God created in advance for me to do. My unique purpose in life, your unique purpose in life. There is power in living that out. There is joy in that. So you repent of sin and you turn to God. And you say, God, forgive this sin. You confess your sin. Because you're never going to hear the purpose of God, the voice of God. You're never going to hear it if you're enslaved to sin. Because you're listening to the other slave master. You're owned by a wicked, cruel, torturing, lying slave master, and you're a slave to sin. You're never going to listen to the new slave to righteousness because you don't have ears to hear it. So confess your sin, repent of your sin, all of it, whatever it is, and step into the freedom that Christ bought for you with his death and his resurrection. He didn't stay dead. He resurrected. And in the same way, you, no longer I who live, Galatians 2:20, it's Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Is he alive in me? And therefore, his resurrection alive, living in us, right? Build something. Work on something with eternal value. Don't be enslaved to men. Don't be enslaved to sin, to bad habits, to fear, and what could go wrong. This world is trying to dampen you down by the day. It is surrounding you with gloom, doom, and bad projections for the future and everything else. It's fracturing relationships that are supposed to be one flesh and family and united. It's fracturing, it's damaging that stuff. Confess your sin to the Lord. Go follow him and see what happens. He's made you for a purpose. He's made you for a powerful purpose, a joyful purpose. I want to pray right now for us. I feel like we need to just pray. So bow your heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, we confess to you, Lord, there is a blockage in our lives, in our minds, in our imaginations. Lord, you are greater. You are able to do far more than we can even imagine. Lord, we don't even know how to pray as we should. Your Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So, Lord, we look to you. And, Lord, I pray that as we in our weakness, in our blindness, we see poorly as a dim reflection in a bad mirror. Lord, in our weakness, in our inability to even imagine the incredible things that you have for us, the incredible things that you have made us to do and to live in, the true nature of freedom. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes. Open your church's eyes, that we would hate sin, that we would love your ways. Lord, that we would be set free from sin, set free from these habits, set free from these fears, these background stories of our lives and whatever else. Lord, set your people free. And we pray that you would set us free into the hope, into the glory, into the freedom of the true children of God. Lord, I pray that you would set marriages free that are set in really bad patterns and habits. They don't even know how they got there. Broken and damaged. Lord, set them free. Set your men free to go be the men that they're supposed to be. Lord, we pray for the families that are raising children and not sure how they're doing it, not sure if it's going to work. Lord, and struggling, wondering if the attitudes are going to straighten up or what. Lord, we pray in your name that you would bless and build up the parents, the fathers, the mothers to raise these children well, to build up your church, to support these families as we raise our children in the name of Jesus and the nurture, the admonition, the instruction of the Lord. Lord, we pray for our community, the lost jobs, the businesses that struggle, the ones that don't know if it's going to work. Lord, you tell us to build a city on a hill. Lord, build a city on a hill. Use your people. Use your people to be light in this world. Lord, set your people free. Lord, we praise you. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we look to you for this. Church, you've been made for some purpose. And I just prayed here for a second, and let me just put it out. It's a little bit different. What purpose has God made you for? Just call it out. Do you know something? You have a burden on your heart, a calling, a conviction, a joy of some sort that God has put on your heart. What has God made you for? Just shout it out. What? A witness, a mother, to worship, to hard work, teaching, to encourage, serve others. What was it? Bring people to him. Sure. Workplace ministry. You know, this world, thank you guys, this world, it needs these kinds of things. Trina said worship. You know, we've all been called to worship. True worship is give yourself as a living sacrifice to Christ. That's everything you do, as long as you're alive. As long as you're living, as long as breath is coming out of your mouth or your nose, whatever. You're made to worship. You're made for his purposes. And I firmly believe, Jesus says we're a city on a hill. We're a light. We're salt of the earth. And I look around and I see the earth falling apart. I mean, this is kind of silly, but It's not really that silly. The earth around us, is the actual planet, is kind of suffering, right? Do you guys know those little bugs that they've been warning us about for years, the spotted lanternflies? They're eating my entire woods. I have a little bit of trees. They're eating them all. Like, even little things like that. I believe the entire world is suffering the pains of a fallen world. And weird bugs like that, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. Praise the Lord, we haven't had a hurricane this year. It's noteworthy when we don't have them, right? The whole world is falling apart. And Jesus says, you're a city on a hill. You're a light of the world. I deeply believe that if God's people, right? If God's people called by his name, September 11th, we talk about this verse on September 11th all the time, called by his name, we'll humble ourselves, pray, seek the Lord, seek his face, confess our sins. He will heal our land, right? And not just the nation and the culture, the actual land. I believe these things. It's all through scripture. It's all over the place. The land has its rest and the land has its cycles and all these things. All of these things under God matter. And if God's people will awaken into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, the heirs of God himself, made for our purposes, I don't think we'll see the kinds of issues we're seeing. I think it'll have an incredible effect. We won't see divorce rates just continuing through the ceiling. We won't see children abandoning the faith, abandoning their families like crazy. We won't see this anxiety and depression in our young people and our elderly people and everyone in between. We won't see these things. We won't see men abandoning families, and we won't see abuse. We won't see these things if God's people will simply start being the light, right? It's all over the place. We have slowly been put to sleep. I said last week, I feel like we're on a dimmer switch, and where it's been slowly dimming and getting darker and darker for generations running, and nobody's even noticing. And we're just kind of starting to be aware that, hey, the world's kind of dark right now. It's a mess. It's time to wake up, right? It's time to wake up. The days are evil, so make the most of every opportunity, Ephesians 4. Make the most of the opportunity. He's put you here now for a reason. I want to show you a couple examples. These are some things that some people that have influenced this very small community. Jesus says that we're a city on a hill. City on a hill can't be hidden, but it's glorious. These are people who lived their lives in this area and served the Lord in powerful ways. This is a fellow, some of you would know him. He owned many of the houses, his family still does, in town here. They're the nicest looking houses in town. If you drive through town, see a nice looking house, chances are Gary Lebo bought them. This is a Christian man. He died in 2019. He owns the Quality Greenhouses, if you know, on your way towards Dillsburg. Does incredible work, provides an incredible product, provides good jobs for many people, for his family and the entire community and many others all around. Is a good source in this town, in this community, for building up the neighborhoods and everything else. He died of pancreatic cancer, tragically, a couple years ago. Lived his life for the glory of God. That's, I don't know if you can read his obituary. It just talks about Jesus a lot. Gives a couple details about his family. A good man who said, you know what, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to go out and be salt of the earth, and I have a certain skill, and it's going to bless the entire community. It's going to build up houses. It's going to give jobs. It's going to provide good products for many people all over the place. I believe that there is a place for Christians to advance in business and get really good at it and make really good products and hire good people and provide good jobs in the community. That is Christian work. Christian work is not just limited to opening Bibles and teaching it on Sundays like the pastor does. That's also important. But everything you do matters. These things matter a lot, okay? Everybody here, we should know this. He influenced all of us. This is Mike Aiello. He died just this past January. He's the guy on the far side there. That's me and my dad. We went down to a Bolivian prison with a fellow named Miguel who was in jail. He's a missionary from Peru, and they put him in jail, and Mike and Dad and I went to visit him in 2013. That was his little jail apartment. but Mike, again, a Christian man, decided, I have a skill that will build up the community, that will provide jobs, that will provide training for jobs, that will build up every job site I do will be done in service to the Lord. God owned the business. He wound up buying this building in the name of Jesus, renovated it. Our church moved in 2016, of course. They have the huge building down behind the parking lot here. I think they've got 60-something employees right now. All done in the name of Jesus. Not a typical missionary, not the kind of missionary who goes to Bolivia or something and travels the world preaching the gospel, but a missionary to the local community that provides really good, really important things that every community needs. Jobs, they do water, they do pumping, mostly sewage, needs to be cleaned out. Nobody wants to do it. Christian man stepped up and said, I'll do it. building a big business doing it. This is the kind of stuff. You get one life, and we're all advanced some length of time into that life, some farther in than others. None of us know when it ends. Both Mike and Gary both died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, left enormous holes in his community. But Jesus says, I've made you, prepared in advance, good works for you to walk in, all of us. We don't just have to fill someone else's shoes. We have to fill our shoes that God made for us. And if God's people do that, there will be jobs, there will be good services, good products, good neighborhoods. All of these things will be affected and influenced if God's people will just advance the kingdom, right? Today's September 11th. We remember this stuff as well. None of us know what tomorrow brings. None of us know. We do not know. We only know that in this world you're going to have many hardships, but take heart, Christ has overcome this world, right? We remember this stuff. Many of us do. The younger generations don't even know about it. We have to tell them. We don't know what later today brings, what tomorrow brings. We don't know. But we do know that God has set us free from sin, set us free from fear, from slavery to fear, from all things. And he has set us free into the glory, the freedom of the children of God for good purposes, his workmanship, to rebuild the stuff that's broken, like your marriage or your household or your job or your community or your nation or your school or whatever, all of the above. He put us here to do it. To do it in the name of Jesus, to build a city on a hill, a new city on a hill, a righteous, bright, shining one that's not corrupted by all the wickedness and lies that our culture has. He's made us for purposes, for incredible purposes, joyful purposes. And the world we're growing up in, I look back and think about September 11th today. This is the 21st year since then. You realize that? It's been so long. has our nation come to its knees in repentance in that time? We've all prayed at the time. If you remember, there was kind of a miniature little go back to church movement that arose, kind of a mini revival, not one that really took, not a great awakening. I don't know what it wasn't. People didn't continue in it. Are children being born and raised in a safer environment today than they were then? I don't think so. It was scary then. Is the world better off now? We've been headed trending downhill, I believe, for a very long time. It's time to awaken from sleep, right? The days are evil, but make the most of every opportunity. God put you in these days. He put you here now for a purpose, for an eternal purpose, a joy-filled purpose. No, the world around us is not full of joy, but in the name of Jesus, we rejoice. In the name of Jesus, we advance his kingdom. We make his name known. And we're set free into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We're bought at a price, the price of Christ's blood. And he resurrected, gives us eternal life. If God's people, if we will seek him, if we will humble ourselves, if we will confess our sin, throw off your sin, confess it to the Lord in the name of Jesus, he alone can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He alone can forgive your sin. He alone can set you free. You're stuck in a pattern. You try this. It works for a few weeks, a month or two. You fall off the wagon, go to the next thing, try the next thing, grasping at straws. And that's what our world is doing. That's all. They're hopeless. They're lost. If you're suffering in the middle of that, we come to Jesus. If you've come to Jesus, let's be free. Let's be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit, to go and make disciples of the nations, to go and be his witnesses across this world. I want to pray for us and trust the Lord that he's going to move, that he's going to do what he promises. Lord Jesus, Lord, we look to you today on this day that we remember an evil tragedy, an evil act of total wickedness. Lord, we look to you today as every day, and Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we confess our sins. Forgive us our sins. Lord, we pray that you would provide for us our daily bread, that you would move, that you would act. Lord, we dedicate our children, our parenting, our marriages, all of these things to you. Lord, I pray that we would be people that serve you, that are salt of the earth, that are light of the world, that build a new city, the city of God, a city on a hill that can't be hidden. No matter how bad this world gets, Lord, make your people stand tall, stand firm, stand strong, and advance your kingdom. Lord, we reject, we confess, we repent of every spirit of slavery, of every spirit of fear, of every spirit of addiction to sin and acts of the flesh and works of the flesh, Lord, we confess these things to you, and I pray that you would set your people free. Lord, set your people free. Lord Jesus, I pray for the ones here today that need to be set free, that are in some kind of position that they already know it. You've already shown it to them and spoken to them, and they know they're stuck and they're hopeless. Lord, I pray for those people in particular. Lord, that you would soften their hearts to be able to confess and repent of sin, and that you would strengthen their hearts into new righteousness, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, into the true purposes, the workmanship for which you've made them in advance. And Lord, we look to you and we praise your name. Church, in the name of Jesus, let's say amen together. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Glory to God. Make sure you come to all the Walk for Life and everything else. Glory to God.